This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin Durante.
My name is Jamie Loftus.
And here are our last names.
Last names. We got exactly one last name request and we took it right to heart.
You know, I'm doing it for the follows. I want you to follow me at Caitlin Durante on Twitter and whatever else.
I'm doing it because I felt like someone asked me to do something and I'm not good at saying no. But it also didn't seem like a bad idea. It's not making my life worse. It's not making anyone's life worse, hopefully.
Right.
Is saying my last name making your life worse? Please flood my mentions and let me know I'm ruining your life by doing truly the bare minimum. How are you?
I'm good. We are here talking about movies, specifically the portrayal of women in movies.
The podcast theme.
Yeah.
We got so involved in the last names, we forgot to say why we were here, what we were talking about.
That's okay.
Right.
So, yes, we are talking about the portrayal of women in movies. We use the Bechdel test as sort of a yardstick.
So it's a test applied to all media in which two women need to have a discussion, two lines of dialogue exchange about something other than a man, and the women in question need to have names.
All true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a hard test to pass. However, not a lot of stuff passes it.
Not a lot of stuff passes. Yeah. And not a lot of media and movies specifically do a good job portraying women. So
what?
Boo Hollywood.
Come on. I think they're doing a great job.
Oh, yeah. It's been historically wonderful.
Very healthy culture. So that's what we're talking about in the Bechdel cast today and every day.
And every day we have a guest.
Yes. And we usually don't talk about movies so recent. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So we're talking about Girls Trip. Ooh. But before we get into that discussion, let's introduce our guest. Yay. She is a comic. She has been a panelist on the pre-show for Empire. Yay. Wow. Madison Shepherd.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being here.
Hello. Hi. I've been here the whole time. I know. Haven't said anything.
the most tense part of the podcast.
Like, when do I jump in? It's like double dutch. Like, when am I going to get a...
It was seamless.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm stoked to have you.
So we're talking about Girls Trip.
Yeah.
You saw the movie in theaters.
I did. I saw it actually as a double feature with Rough Night. I saw Rough Night and then I went to see Girls Trip like within an hour and a half of each other.
Because they're similar movies and then it's a group of women having a wild weekend or night or whatever.
Not an unfamiliar premise.
No, not at all. But one of them did much better than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Girls Trip.
The ones we're talking about.
That did better.
Yeah.
I didn't see Rough Night, and I didn't feel the need to. So
I don't know. I'd be interested in seeing it. I wasn't aware that in Rough Night, it takes this premise, and that, but they like kill a guy and something. Spoiler alert, I guess. I did not see either of these movies in theater, but they were marketed in a very similar way, so that I was very surprised when I was reading through the synopses for both, that in one, they kill someone. That wasn't that clear in the marketing.
Did not realize that either.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. I really loved Girls Trip.
Same. I also didn't see it in the theater because this was my pre-movie pass days. I have it now, and I've seen all kinds of movies with my... If Movie Pass wants to sponsor us, because we've been plugging your product endlessly for the past few episodes...
Or just, like, send me mine. I've already paid for it.
Right, yeah. So, I bought Girls Trip on DVD... brag. Okay. And I watched it twice in the past couple of days.
That feels like a lot. Can I be honest with you? I tried to watch it twice. I watched it 1.5 times. I couldn't do it.
I watched it one time.
Yeah.
And it was just right.
I think my
brain just is not good at absorbing media. I think because I've just absorbed so much of it that it takes my brain like a second viewing to really digest stuff.
Yeah. Well, Caitlin, you do have not one but two college degrees.
That's true.
So you don't have to.
Thank you. You know that I hate to bring it up. You know who also has multiple degrees?
I know. I thought of
it. It's Queen Latifah, and she mentions it in the movie.
Yeah, that's true. Wait, does she in real life or just the character?
I think I just know. The character, but
Queen Latifah didn't have time to. She was on Living Single. She was
I just started watching that on Hulu. Yes. I'm really enjoying it.
I love that show.
I need to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Queen Latifah's been like in the entertainment industry since she was like 18.
For decades, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she had time.
She was 23 when Living Single came out, and she was a star of it.
And she has not aged a day. It's
I mean,
incredible.
She was looking a little old in this movie for me. I won't lie. But I've been watching her on TV since I was a child. So.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I had to do some age checks for the main cast in this movie because all the main cast except for Tiffany
Haddish
is over 40.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Which, I mean, they all look.
They're all about 9 or 10 years apart in age.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was great. Yeah.
I mean, from Tiffany.
Right. Yeah. Because Queen Latifah, Regina Hall, and Jada Pinkett Smith are all born in 70, 71.
Yeah.
And then.
I think Tiffany had.
This is all to say that very cool that we're seeing representation of women over 40 in a movie. Because you rarely do.
Yeah. Right? And they look great.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And they're living their lives and they're successful and doing their thing. It's great.
Yeah.
Totally.
And they were playing women their age, too, because I feel like there's always such a tendency to be like, well, they all look amazing, so let's just pretend they're 30. And it's like they're all pretty much playing within a few years of their own age.
Except for Tiffany, who's having to play age up, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, should I do the recap of the story?
Madison, feel free to interject
Jump
the recap.
In, okay. Interrupt, because I
it's
usually... One of
my favorite
parts. Don't do a good job.
I love interrupting.
So the story focuses on these four main characters, who's the actors I just named, but it is Ryan, played by Regina Hall. Sasha is Queen Latifah's character. Lisa is Jada Pinkett Smith. And Dina is Tiffany Haddish.
Have you ever seen a female character named Ryan before?
No.
One of my best friends growing up was a girl named Ryan, and I'd never seen them before. I was so excited. I texted her.
Wow.
She's like, I know. She's like, everyone texted me. You're a year late.
So it's these four women who all went to college together. They were this very tight-knit group called the Flossy Posse.
The dumbest handshake ever in the world. I was like, what the fuck does it have to do with anything?
I'm like, we can leave it at denim vest because I was very happy with the denim vest.
They all wear pendants. With FP on it.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah.
No, we also need a handshake.
Right. And they have that one song that whenever they hear it, it just brings them all together and they have to dance.
I still don't know what song that is, though.
Me either.
Not clear because they dance to a fuck ton of songs in that movie.
This is a dance-heavy movie.
The movie opens with voiceover explaining this. You're like, you know that one song that your group will, anytime
you hear it. And we don't get to hear
it,
the song.
We don't, and then
fucking voiceover.
So much emphasis is placed on that because it's the first thing you hear in the movie. You think it's going to pay off later. And then it
never comes up
again. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
I almost forgot that's they had that dumb weird handshake until they did it at the end. I was like, oh, that's still stupid.
I forgot about the pendants until the end where Regina Hall grabs her necklace and then everyone else grabbed their neck. I was like, what's happening? And I was like, oh, right. We haven't seen that in an hour.
I didn't even think I made that connection. Yeah.
There are so many friendship talismans. I couldn't keep track of them.
Hey, they're all friends. Did you know?
They like each other, but sometimes they don't get along.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much the story. I mean, this is a much more character-driven piece. This is a character's film.
It's an actor. This is an actor's film.
Yes, I would agree. So the story is basically that Ryan Pierce is like a successful author and kind of public figure, and she has this book.
She's like
out,
Oprah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, like Oprah. She's like Junior. Pre-Oprah.
Right.
Yeah.
But connected with a dude.
Right. Her brand is built around the fact that she can have it all. So she has this very handsome husband. But she's also got this career. So her whole thing is like, I have a personal life and a professional life.
Queen Latifah's character is like Perez Hilton, sort of. Like a gossip blog.
Like a go fug yourself.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a deep early 2000s. Somebody brought it up like two weeks ago and I've just been saying it since. Like, remember that website I was obsessed with?
I don't remember that.
Oh my God. Oh God. That was like middle. Like, I had to sneak onto the school library computer to see that website.
Anyway, so Ryan gets invited to be the like guest of honor at Essence Fest in New Orleans, but she and her Pussy Posse haven't released.
Flossy Posse.
I'm sorry.
What did I say?
Pussy I'm sorry. Posse. Leonardo DiCaprio? No.
When I think of Pussy Posse, I don't think of them. I think of that terrible Facebook group we were all a part of years ago, remember?
Yeah. Rest in paradise, that fucking Facebook. Jesus Christ.
This is for sure not the first time I will accidentally say Pussy Posse, and I am sorry.
You're basically Toby Maguire.
So the Flossy Posse, they haven't really spoken in a few years, and they kind of like fell out of touch just because their lives all got so busy, as you do as an adult. So Ryan takes this opportunity of being invited to Essence Fest to sort of get all the gals together, because she's got like VIP access, and they're like, we're going to get together, we're going to have a crazy weekend, we're going to party, and it's going to be just like old times.
She has this funny like plot-driven vision at the beginning where it was like she's just sitting there, and then she's talking to her manager. Or the Kate Walsh character.
My God.
She
one of the secret, like, best parts of the movie. She is great.
I love Kate Walsh in all things. But Kate Walsh goes up to Regina, and Regina Hall all of a sudden just like, I've got to get the Flossy Posse.
Because she sees two makeup artists who are only two women who probably just met on the job today, you know. Laughing, and she's like, I miss laughing with other women.
It's pretty tenuous. I was like, oh, is that the inciting incident when she looked to her left?
Kind of.
But whatever. It got the movie started.
Sure. So they all get together. They go to New Orleans. You find that Ryan and Sasha have a little bit of beef. You find that,
which doesn't
Dina...
get explained until, like, fucking so deep in this movie.
I'm like, why
didn't we get a hint of it before?
Right.
Like, why are we finding out almost at the end what happened?
You would think that would be some sort of, like, second act, like, midpoint
reveal
thing. Yeah. Because at first I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. They're not going to tell us right away. But they don't tell you until like an hour and a half in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's just shouted. You're like, oh.
And it's like, oh, you both suck. That's basically what we find out.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Were you expecting this much interrupting? Because I'm
no,
not sure.
No. This is very...
Okay, it's par for the course.
This is par for the course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Lisa, meanwhile, she has a couple kids. She was married and divorced, and she's this, like, her character sort of built on the fact that she's, like, a very nurturing, motherly person who kind of left her wild party girl days behind.
Yes, but I think that a lot of her character points are built on, like, she's uptight.
Right.
She's uptight. And there's...
She's uptight now.
Right. But once she gets a dick in her, she's gonna loosen right up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that character was interesting to me. We'll get there.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And then Dina, Tiffany Haddish's character, she is still a wild party gal. She had chlamydia at one point. That's her backstory that we learn in
the
beginning of the movie.
She wears weird fucking wigs throughout the 90s, apparently.
Yes.
Like every time, just like the worst fucking wig. Also, I'm like, okay, can we just talk about that like scene where she has chlamydia? No one was wearing backpacks at that point in the 2000s. We only started wearing backpack purses again like last year.
Oh.
Like I was also... how the fuck old are they? Because in the opening montage, they're like dancing like it's fucking 1992. Mm-hmm, like they're mm-hmm. on In Living Color. And I'm like, wait a minute, but they graduated in 98? I call bullshit. That's not what was popular in 98. Oh, and I'm just like, what? They weren't in college for fucking 7 years. Or what? I'm not doing the math right. I think that's 6 years. But whatever. Anyways.
That's too many years. I was
well. Queen Latifah was getting so many degrees. It takes a while. I know this from experience.
She's 400 degrees. Yeah,
I do have. She's several degrees.
She has 98 degrees.
Okay. That's my goal. I can't forgive you.
Well,
for
I was going to sing an NSYNC song. That's not 98 degrees. Sorry, guys.
No, that one is
the hardest thing I ever had to do. Is turn around and walk away, pretend that I don't love you.
So good. And then the follow-up.
We were kind of harmonizing. Can we talk about
really
that?
Really,
I'm not good at harmonizing. If do you want to start a girl group?
Yes. It's all I think.
You should call it the Pussy Posse.
And then their follow-up single, Una Noche. Loved it. Just one night. Una
this
no,
is, no that's a J-Lo song for sure.
No, it's 98 degrees.
The time of
oh, that's right. Oh,
maybe
you know what?
Features?
J-Lo has Waiting for Tonight.
Yes, that
oh,
one's a great one.
I
when
do know that one.
You will be here in my arms, waiting for tonight.
And then she goes, for a couple minutes.
She can't fucking sing. That's why. Just let me neigh on the track for a minute.
Can I reveal something stupid about myself? Which,
please.
Whenever you girls were listening to that kind of music,
oh boy.
I was
oh
listening
no.
to Korn.
Oh, I love
Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, I've seen Korn
Metallica.
Live. Oh, we could talk about. Let me tell you something. I saw Korn on the Freak on a Leash tour
back
in the day. Okay, I got in trouble because remember when Limp Bizkit did that Napster tour and they were like, "We'll give you a free concert." Mm-hmm. Well, my friends all told their mom that they were at my house, and I told my mom I was at my friend's house, which resulted in my big ass white mom showing up with her Volvo fucking station wagon, embarrassing the fuck out of my black ass. And like grounding me the rest of the summer and sending me to El Paso. So I have a fucking skin in the new metal game, bitch, is what I'm saying. So high five.
Oh my God. That's an extreme sacrifice.
I never did
for
anything.
Korn,
I cried when I met Marilyn Manson. Bitch, I will get into it. I almost got a Twiggy tattoo out of fucking. Anyways, we'll get it.
That's great.
We could talk about this.
Yeah.
Can you tell
please.
Me something embarrassing? I don't think it's embarrassing. I think it's great. Tell me about your time. I just basically talked over you.
Oh, no, no, no.
I was like, bitch, I'm with you.
That
I didn't
story
do,
needed to be heard.
Yeah. Absolutely. I didn't do nearly anything as hard as like going to a concert and lying to my parents about it. In fact, I didn't go to a concert until I was like, I think 20.
Wow.
Yeah, I've lived a very awful sheltered life.
My mom and I went to see the Backstreet Boys the night before 9/11. And that was
you
that
guys
was
caused
my
it.
First, it was basically her fault.
Wow.
It was brutal. And
what a reveal.
Yeah. What we didn't know at the time. It was literally my mom at one point, because she's just like a doofus. We were talking about, I was like, oh yeah, that concert was so much fun, because I was like, whatever, 9 or 10. And then she was just like, yeah. It really was a simpler time. I was like, Mom, chill the fuck out. It was the night before 9/11, so obviously it was a simpler time.
Yeah, I guess you guys could walk to the airport gate together. That's about the only big difference.
Oh, well, anyway, so back to Girls Trip.
Sorry.
No.
Women talking this about is... our old-ass experiences.
Right. So the four women are in New Orleans.
Right.
The first night, they go out and they get a little crazy. They're at a party. But early on, they learn that Ryan's husband, Stuart, has been having a possible affair with this woman named Simone, who is an Instagram model. And
oh, can we just talk about how every hot woman in black media has this voice? And Simone, when she confronts Queen Latifah, yeah, maybe I'll give you the hot tip on your website. And then she, like, pivots. I'm like, why do you have to talk like
Whoa.
That? Like since, like, fucking Harlem Nights, like, every, like, sexy black woman in the thing always has this voice. I'm very upset, and I'm imparting real important information, but I can't fucking find the breath to tell you.
She's, like, half panting.
My fucking waist clincher is keeping my diaphragm from fully dropping, so I don't have the breath to bitch you out when I would.
Yeah, good point.
I ran out of breath saying it like that. Like,
but it was spot on. That's what she sounds like. Yeah, she can't fully inhale.
Yeah.
We'll get to her character, too, because the way that character is treated is all over the place. Like,
oh boy.
Totally.
Like,
she does have a great butt, though. That keeps getting brought up, and it's true.
They're never wrong. They're never wrong.
So yeah, this character Simone is introduced, and there's like a photograph of her kissing Ryan's husband, Stuart.
Another trope of the genre of like every time someone's romantic partner is caught cheating, it's in glorious high quality 1080p. I'm like, who took this picture? It's gorgeous.
Backlit.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, were they posing? Is this like country homes?
Like, and it's also like pretty tame too. Like, I mean, having seen like the real like videos and footage of like people cheating, like it's never that glamorous.
Yeah, yeah. It's like pixelated raw dogging. It's not like
there's a double chin in the background.
Anyways, gorgeous cheating photos. And
honestly, great point.
Yeah. So Sasha, Lisa, and Dina all find out about this, and they're like, hey, Ryan, your husband's kissing another woman. And Ryan's like, actually, I already knew about this. And they're like, no, it happened like last night. She's like, oh, crap. So this becomes sort of an ongoing conflict where this woman keeps showing up because she's also there at Essence Fest. And Stuart's all like, no, this is all like, I'm not going to talk to her anymore. This is over. We're going to work on our marriage. And Ryan believes it. And then it's that storyline kind of comes to a head.
He's gaslighting her so hard. Yeah. Every single time he's on screen, he's like, you need me. You need me. You need me. I'm not going to change. But you need me.
But she doesn't need him. He needs her.
The twist is.
He is cut out of the Target Walmart-esque deal at the end. What is it, Mary Mart? No Mary Mart for you, Stuart. Is that what they...
I love how they go out of the way to not give too much emphasis on that deal because it's like a plot point. But I feel like also it's like in today's climate, no one's like rooting for a Target deal. Like, oh, I hope that like this really sinister corporation comes out on top no matter what.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Very tastefully.
Yes. Yeah, that's another component of the story where Ryan and her agent, Liz DeValley.
Just say Kate Walsh, because nobody cares.
Right. Although,
it's glaringly Kate Walsh.
Totally. But her character's last name is DeValley, which I couldn't help but notice sounds a little bit like devil, which she is kind of portrayed to be. She's like...
Liz the devil?
I mean, she spends the whole movie...
Very subtle. Like, very subtle.
It's like not that far from Cruella DeVille. Like, she's not a good character. I mean, she's a good character, but she like... She makes a lot of missteps in the story.
Yeah, I'm like, fire her.
Yeah,
right.
And why is she always the fuck around?
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I guess she's trying to, like, garner this deal for Ryan, this huge...
And why is it happening during this fucking other job?
Like, in the middle of Essence... Like
she's working.
This deal has to be made during Essence Fest.
Right.
Also, like, shout out to Essence Fest for fucking sponsoring this entire movie.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus. And it made me really want to go to Essence Fest, y'all. Never been, would go.
It sounded. I mean, it was like, what was that movie? Because the framework of Essence Fest makes total sense for this movie. What was that movie with Vince Vaughn that's on the Google campus? And that's the whole
interns
movie.
Or something,
yeah, the interns.
Right?
Interns or something, yeah. Where he and Owen Wilson are like, we work at Google, and that's the movie.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I read the script for like an early draft. Wasn't very good.
Hot brag.
Mm. Yeah.
Hot
brag. It was in graduate school where I did go to get a master's in screenwriting. Second. I hate to bring it up.
You
sorry.
You and Sasha, the gossip blogger, are both
educated, strong black women.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the story. It's Ryan trying to get this deal and impress this woman, Bethany. Her agent's helping her out. She's there with all of her friends. Stuart's cheating on her. Everything kind of comes to a head at the end of the movie where there's this big speech where Ryan's like, no, I can't have it all. And where I'm making my marriage work and da da da. And then she's like, wait a minute. This is not the message I want to send out into the world.
Even though this is the message she built her empire on.
Right. She's like, let me just dismantle that really quick and say a different thing, which is like, you just got to be true to yourself and friendship and da da da. And then Bethany is so impressed. She's like, actually, yeah, let's still give you that deal. And we're going to cut Stuart out of it. And it's just about you being a strong, independent woman.
And then she brings in Sasha, and then they're friends again.
Yes.
I just like that Kate Walsh is like, turns out single women are a huge market. Right. It's like, oh, you mean every fucking person watching this fucking movie? Yeah, bitch, we know.
And that is Kate Walsh's character's big takeaway from the entire She's like, oh, turns out I did not know what my job was. I'm like, how could you? That's your job to know.
Yeah. Kate Walsh, come on.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, so that's the story.
Great. I'm glad we got there, but also brought up corn. We harmonized.
No, this is, we did do a full-on singing break. It was beautiful. It was,
yeah.
I always want to be like movies where they have like dance parties break out or like singing breaking out is like unrealistic of women, but we did that.
But we did do it.
Well,
just
that happens
now.
In this movie where there's an extended scene where they're in a dance-off.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite scenes in the movie where the Flossy Posse and then
good job.
Simone, thank you. I paused and I was like, please don't say Pussy Posse.
Pussy, pussy, pussy. The pussy, pussy.
So the Flossy Posse and then Simone also has a posse with exactly four women and then they have a dance off.
Also, why is Simone at this club? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've pointed out that maybe the story doesn't make entirely 100% sense and maybe isn't the most tightly written movie. But, I mean, it's like a hugely important movie. So we see almost no representation of women of color in movies and certainly not where they are framed as the stars, the main characters. So that was just really fucking awesome to see. I feel like so many movies make just huge mistakes when representing people of color. It's either that the movie doesn't have any people of color in their entire fucking movie or...
Rough Night.
Yeah. Yeah. And hundreds of others.
Almost all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
All of them.
Yep. Uh-huh. If a movie does have a person of color main character, we often don't know anything about their life or their backstory. We talked about this on like the Craft episode where the one woman of color, we don't know anything about her family life or her interests or anything like
that.
We
never go to her house, but we go to everyone else's
house.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a huge thing. And or the person of color character will be some sort of trope or stereotype rather than like an actually fleshed out, well-developed character.
Yeah. I mean, like my boyfriend posted because he also had to watch it a bunch of times because we share a bed. And I was like, this is where we're watching it. And he posted, he was like, well, I don't think that it passed the Bechdel test because just to speak to what you were saying, in response to a very lively comment thread about the subject, somebody brought up what they call the Duvernay test, which is like bringing up, you know, do the people of color have names? Are they being comforting or supporting of like the white characters? Like, are they magical or not? And I'm like, well, I mean, people of color are magical, but like, you know what I mean? But this movie, like, you know, 100% passes that other one too. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Just for those reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Which is remarkable because
we should bring
so
up the
few
tests more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I could definitely see a movie not passing the Bechdel test, but definitely passing the Duvernay test, especially if it's a movie about black men. That is a thing that I could 100% see happening.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to black men.
Yeah.
Black men, you're doing great.
Yeah, it's like such a remarkable thing to see because so few mainstream movies feature even one developed person of color character, let alone several like this movie does. And like in the first few minutes of the movie, we get a clear sense of each of the four main characters. It's four black women over the age of 40. Again, representation that we rarely see on screen. And you either like find out what they do for a living or some other distinguishable trait about their character.
I think you find out what all of them do, except for Tiffany Haddish. She just works in an office, some kind of bank
and then
or
gets
something.
Fired.
Yeah.
It seems like that scene, because that scene was super fun. And then you get the feeling that had happened like 45. That happens like every other day.
Often.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, actually, I do still have this job. And they're like, okay.
We're not going to fight you.
This is great.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like the top 5 minutes of this movie is like giving all of our main characters. Like,
even Jada, she's some kind of doctor or medical professional.
I think she's a nurse.
Yeah. She was wearing scrubs.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw her and I thought doctor, especially with that house. But who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
That was another unclear thing, because they do say she's a nurse a couple different times, but then we find out again, like in that conversation very late in the movie, that she lives with her mom, where at the beginning I thought that she...
Like mom was visiting.
Her mom was over it. Yeah.
To like take care of her kids, right?
Yeah. So I mean, who knows? Right. There's some stuff that I'm like, what?
I totally missed that she was a nurse.
They do mention it at least once or twice.
Because
good job, this movie.
Because Regina Hall's character, I'm pretty sure there's like one, at least one moment. It's usually directed at Queen Latifah, but she's like, she can be very condescending to her friends and is condescending to each of them as it pertains to like something about their life, at least one, like where, mm-hmm. I mean, with Queen Latifah, it's pretty constant of like, well, you run a gossip blog, even when Queen Latifah's like, yeah, and this is why you should listen to me, because I run a gossip blog and I know what they're going to do to you. Mm-hmm. But she also like sort of makes fun of Tiffany Haddish's character for being like loose and like too crazy for her age. And then it like does come down on Jada Pinkett's character for either being like too uptight, or at one point she's like, you're a nurse. I'm like, yeah, that's great. What are you talking about?
It's really good. It's really good.
It's weird.
I don't know. So, like, I would classify this sort of as, like, a girl group movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've done a few others of those on the podcast already. Mean Girls, Heathers, The Ghostbusters reboot, Clueless.
Loved that episode. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Spice World.
The Craft.
A League of Their Own, I would even count.
Whoa, we've done a lot of them.
Yeah, we've done a lot, but there's a ton of others that we haven't done. Bridesmaids, Pitch Perfect, Now and Then, Grease, Whip It, Bring It On, Charlie's Angels, Crossroads, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
That's a good one.
Whoa, Josie and the Pussycats, Little Women, Steel Magnolias, 9 to 5, First Wives, Spring Breakers, Jawbreaker, Rough Night. There's a ton of these.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the ones I just named have either no people of color or one, maybe.
Yeah. Right,
in their like main ensemble cast. Of the ones that I could find that were like super mainstream that featured a predominantly women of color cast were Dreamgirls, mm-hmm. Waiting to Exhale, and a movie called Set It Off, which I...
Oh, you don't know about Set It Off?
No, it wasn't me.
Bitch, you gotta know the fuck. Get another black woman on here and talk about Set It Off. It is an important movie to black people.
Yeah.
It's an amazing movie. And Jada Pinkett Smith and Queen Latifah are both in it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they make a lot of references in Girls Trip to
that movie?
Set It Off.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
There's like a couple of like little references.
I would have missed them all. Nice.
Usually in that fight scene with the wigs and them.
Oh,
that,
cool.
So. Oh, this movie looks amazing.
Oh, it's great. It's about a bunch of women robbing a bank, and Queen Latifah plays a lesbian in it and is like full on out, which is like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tight as fuck.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll watch it right away.
I'm so excited to watch this movie.
Yeah, usually this is why it's important that like black artists also write, I think,
mm-hmm.
Because the reason that those movies that you listed got made is because of black writers. And mm-hmm. we already know the statistics that came out last year, which literally broke my heart and made me cry about like just the lack of black writers in writers' rooms. TBS, I think, mm-hmm. had zero black writers on any of their writing staff, which punched me in the fucking puss. I mean, my God.
In your pussy posse?
Yeah, my pussy posse. My pussy posse pocket. And, you know, this movie is actually one of the first movies in history to be directed by black people, written by black people. People mm-hmm. and starring black people to surpass, I guess, $100 million. I read that on IMDb. So it's like really an important movie.
Mm. Totally.
And why all black artists need to write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was reading this Hollywood Reporter article entitled Girls Trip Box Office Breaks R-Rated Comedy Curse Proves Power of Diversity. Just a quick thing at the top. It says, for decades, Hollywood studios have operated on the premise that a film featuring a black cast wouldn't necessarily reach and play to a wider audience, but moviegoers are taking matters into their own hands, challenging that assumption and proving Hollywood wrong. The latest example came over the weekend as Universal's critical darling Girls Trip opened to a rousing $30.4 million. The best
That's
start
almost double their budget, by the way.
Yeah. The best start for an R-rated comedy in 2 years and the best showing for any live-action comedy so far this year, because the movie, it had a budget of $19 million and then it grossed domestically over $115 million.
makes my eyes misty.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Uh-huh. So good. You know, I mean, they're not wrong in thinking that a lot of Black ensemble movies don't do well. And it's also because I think there's a quality issue in a lot of Black entertainment. Mm. You know, there's movies like Almost Christmas and all these other kind of, like, we don't get a lot of, like, really well-written Black entertainment, I think. And I think that this movie kind of teeters on the brink of not being particularly good in terms of, like, the story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it does happen. I mean, Tyler Perry comes out with movies, and there's a ton of movies in that vein. They don't do well because they're not good. And the reason this movie was so fucking good is Tiffany Haddish. You know? She wasn't in the movie, it would not have done well.
No, and
she made that movie.
I mean, even, like, looking at, like, if you look at that character on paper, that's a hard character to, like, pull off and pull off with, like, it. Yeah.
Yeah. She's, no, she kills it. She's so funny.
She also improvised a lot of her lines and wrote a lot of her lines.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, herself. So, like, that stuff is,
I mean, her stand-up is incredibly funny. Like, it's no surprise. I wrote down some of my favorite jokes from the movie, and they were all by her.
Yeah. She has all the laugh lines in that whole movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny without her?
She calls Stuart a milk dud head.
Yeah, it's great because everyone's thinking it. You look at him and you're like, he looks like a Whopper. He looks like a milk dud.
And then she says, you look like an ugly, dirty Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
And then the scene where she's demonstrating grapefruiting. Yeah. And then at the end of it says, you never want to do this with a pineapple. I almost died.
Yeah.
Fucking funny.
Oh, and that scene I like when she, like, is doing it. And then she's like, oh, she does, like, a little Cosby thing. And then she, like, licks the balls. Like, amazing. That physicality,
she, like, pretends
so good.
To choke. She's like, you got to pretend to choke. You know, you don't want to make the man like think a man.
Yeah.
My favorite Tiffany Haddish, I mean, it's like, it's also good, but at the end of that weird late in the movie exposition scene where she, like, keeps leaving and then has, like, one more thing to say and keeps turning around, and it's just like this long shot of her, like, trying to leave the scene five different times.
She's so like, take, funny.
Take your debit card because I don't want you. No credit. You're low limit having ass.
Yeah, basically, like, she just stole everything from Ryan. And she's like, fine, I'll return it.
Including her ID. Like, what the fuck was she planning to do?
She, like, returns everything one thing at a time. Yeah. And then like, stumble. Oh, it's so good.
The scene where she buys the bottle of absinthe. And then she keeps being like, he's like, this will last you 5 years. She's like, 5 months, got it. He's like, no, you're not hearing me. She's like, 5 days, great. And then she leaves by saying, like, this is about to be used very irresponsibly, thank you.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, she made this movie. Her performance is so funny. Like, some of the humor in the movie wasn't for me. Like, I don't like gross out humor. So, like, the scene where they're all, like, peeing on the zip line all over everybody, I was like, first of all, who pees via a fire hose spraying out of their crotch? Like, what?
Wild.
That's not how pee
that
works.
That was wild.
I like that Jada Pinkett did it and then Tiffany Haddish did it. I think I missed that the first go around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She, like, Jada Pinkett did it on accident and Tiffany did it on fucking purpose.
There's, like, a lot of, that's what, like, part of what is interesting about this movie to me is it is such a setup we've seen before, but never with an all women of color cast. So there are, like, tropes of the genre that you see of, like, I love the grapefruiting scene, but there's something like that in every, like, version of this setup of, like, a gross out sex scene, a gross out the
body function scene that's gross, farting, shitting, peeing,
the Melissa McCarthy shitting in the sink thing and Bridesmaids, the first thing I thought of, and then the whole absinthe sequence is, like,
a trip,
was very hangovery to me. Like, there are definitely, like, tropes of this setup, but that's, like, I don't know. It's like, oh, well, that's what we signed up for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just nice to see a different version of that, like, different representation. Because usually we see it by fratty white dudes in a movie or, like, hot white ladies. And it's, So it's just, I mean, it's cool to see Black women do it for once.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's also through our lens. So all the jokes and the humor, it's just like, it was gorgeous for that. But one of the things I'm, like, I almost didn't think this movie passed the Bechdel test because of the amount of focus on men in this movie. We almost lose character development and finding out more about their friendship because of all of the shit about dudes.
Yes. Right.
All of the stuff about men. There's so much. It's so male focused.
My fear that, like, one thing I was afraid of happening in the whole movie, because we are forced to wait so long to find out what happened between Regina Hall and Queen Latifah.
It was over a man.
I was so worried that it was going to be some sort of falling out over a guy. And it sort of, it had to do with Stewart, the reason that, so the reveal is that Regina and Queen Latifah had started a publication together, but then Regina pulled out rather abruptly when it seemed like she could do better with Stewart. So it did, it was sort of around a man. I was afraid it was going to just be like, oh, we got in a fight about a guy and then we can't be friends, because that happens all the fucking time.
For sure.
Also, like, why didn't Queen Latifah just play a lesbian in this?
I was wondering that as well.
Because she doesn't have, except for that time when she makes out with that lamp. She doesn't, which is amazing.
What a great physical.
Also,
bit.
The best sex scene in the movie was Queen Latifah hunching on a lamp. with her hair swinging. Like, she, you know, she never has any romantic scenes. So it was interesting, I guess.
Yeah. There's not really any queer representation in this movie that
In fact, they make some remarks that are kind of vaguely homophobic even a couple times in the movie, where they'd be talking to a man and they'd be like, oh, do you have a wife? No. Do you have a husband? Like, kind of like condescending and just like not very... Like, what if he was gay? And what's wrong with that? And they just, it would have been nice to see some queer representation.
If Queen Latifah could just fucking come out already. You know what
is
I mean?
Is she not officially?
No, she's not officially out. But, like, there's all the paparazzi pictures, you know, are her and her girlfriend, Ebony. That's her name.
I thought the same thing about, I didn't articulate this on the episode, but we recently did an episode about the Ghostbusters reboot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, Kate McKinnon, lesbian actor, could have made her
and
character
also very
lesbian.
Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that would have given people the opportunity. I mean, her being a lesbian might not have served the story at all, but like it would have
hindered the story.
Right. Yeah. And it would have given like young people an opportunity to see lesbian representation on screen. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that would have been cool. But I also kind of wanted to compare this movie to that Ghostbusters reboot, because we talked about on that episode that the characters in that movie in Ghostbusters aren't very well fleshed out. They don't really have distinct personalities, save for Kate McKinnon's character being, you know, a little kooky and maybe socially awkward.
I think that is just like Paul Feig does not know how to reel it in.
Right.
And is like, improvise. I don't know. Make it up.
Right.
Figure it out. And so then, like, no, I don't know.
Yeah. But kind of conversely, Girls Trip, I think its characters are much more fleshed out. So
I'm for sure.
Yeah. I think it was probably to do with, like, the women's improv, though. I don't know how much of it was actually written in.
Right.
Because Tiffany Haddish's character, there's no way that they wrote that like that. You know what I mean? She for sure, like, built all of that stuff.
Yeah.
There was some... I wanted to talk a little bit about Lisa. So that's Jada Pinkett's character. Mm-hmm. Because there were a few moments that kind of, like, I don't know, like, my antenna went up a few different times, because she's framed from the get-go as she's divorced, she's hyper-protective of her children, kind of like a type A uptight character, and her friends give her some shit for that. Fine, we've seen a character like this a million times. But there's like a few moments, like back to back, where they go to this hotel and there's that guy who shows up thinks that they're like is trying to pay $3 for a blowjob.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
that's a very weird moment in this movie where I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in what you guys think about it, because he shows up, he is like, there's usually a woman who gives me a $3 blowjob
right here. Rochelle.
And they're like, oh no, get out. And then he spits on Regina Hall, leaves, and then flashes them, and they all freak out, but kind of in like a, well, this is so weird and kind of funny kind of way. And then Lisa, as a button, I'm like, is anyone gonna say anything? Like, what, how is the movie viewing this scene, you know? And at the very end, Lisa's like, I don't think that was funny at all. Yeah. And that's just, and that's the end of the scene. I was like, I don't know. How did you guys be? I thought that was
the funniest part of the scene was her button.
Yeah. I was like, well, at least someone said something.
Also, I liked seeing dick in the movie. Just
I wrote that down.
Like, I was like, hey, tight. Great.
You see the dick.
We've seen 80 billion boobs in movies.
And some bushes, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. we hardly ever see dicks. So even when it's a gross dick like that dude's was.
And he was doing okay. I mean, for his age, you know, he wasn't.
He was all right. I just was like, don't spit on Regina Hall.
Oh, I missed that, I think.
He spits on her face.
Oh. Yeah, that doesn't get addressed.
We cut to the next scene and they're going out and everyone's teasing Lisa for her outfit, which is ridiculous.
That's also kind of a running gag in the movie where they're all making fun of what she's wearing.
That was a great Tiffany Haddish line too, where she's like, you look like someone's Puerto Rican grandpa.
Oh no, that was Queen Latifah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Tiffany Haddish was like, and don't take so long back there making tamales or whatever. Okay. That was, yeah.
But then that one too, there's like a little moment where they're basically like, and go shave your huge bush.
Your whole
mom.
Your hairy. Your like, hairy piss.
Right. I'm like, leave Jada's bush alone. Let her have her bush. She should change, but she doesn't have to shave her bush. But she should change.
That dress was amazing too. Can we talk about it? I was like, I want that dress.
There's a lot of really good looks and really weird looks in this movie.
Can we? I have never in my fucking life seen Queen Latifah dressed so fucking horrendously. Ever. Who fucking dress? I tweeted about it at the time and I tweeted about it this weekend when I rewatched. Why? Why would she dress up poorly? Like, just because she's a size 14 doesn't mean that she needs to wear like just every ugly, ill-fitting thing they could find. I was like, could she not get a fucking Torrid sponsorship? Fashion Nova Curve couldn't step in and give the bitch something that like showed off her waist. I mean,
and it's weird because she even says in the hotel room, like, oh, I have to look really good because I'm sponsored or like whatever. Yeah. Like, she says that.
I mean, she's covering the lie of having to return her clothes. But I'm like, how do you live in that apartment and drive the car that was repossessed and not have also spent some of that money like looking really good? She's dressed like a rockabilly duvet at one point. I mean, another time it's like she has a fucking Target prom dress that's also a jumper romper thing. A lot of jumper romper things for her. I was so disappointed in that. I'm just sick of like, As a big bitch, I'm sick of big bitches looking ugly on screen, okay? Like, everyone else can have a cute look except for Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
The only good one she had is at the end in the second line. I liked that dress.
That was a nice one, yeah.
Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Valid points.
There was a lot of outfit changes in this movie. It's not like there was one.
Yeah, there were tons of outfits.
So good. Yeah. I liked everyone else's costumes.
Tiffany Haddish, I don't think, had a bad outfit.
I want that dress she was wearing when she's on the airplane singing I'm Every Woman. I was like, do I find this dress? I need it.
Oh, that was another genre trope that it was like, drunk on an airplane.
Yeah. For sure. Can we talk about Kate Walsh's character?
Yes. Oh,
let's talk about Kate Walsh.
So you first meet her and she's like sexually harassing Stewart, number one.
Yeah,
that's in a very uncomfortable way.
I mean, white women and their treatment of white. Here's the thing. This is a general statement. And before any of your white lady listeners try to get at me in my mentions, my mom is white. My dad is black. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking shit about us girlfriends. Listen, white women are the first people to jump up and shout about sexual harassment. But yet, let's even look at like stand-ups. Like white women who are stand-ups are very much like against sexual harassment and all of this stuff. And that's great. I'm with you, sister. But then you can't have jokes in your act about how big black men's dicks are. You can't then turn around and completely objectify black men as these pieces of meat. Mm-hmm. So that scene for me, I was like, that's realistic. I've like seen like white women treat like touching them inappropriately in public, just basically taking them and making them just their junk, you know?
Yeah.
It happens all the time with white women. So for me, I was like, oh, that's a real thing. And also, even though, like, as an audience member, you want Regina to, like, fight and be like, don't let her touch you. But in real life, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to say anything.
This woman's your agent. She's, like, helping
she's money.
You get work and stuff like that. I wanted your take on it, certainly, but I thought it was probably a comment on that very thing where white women, society in general, but, you know, especially, again, fucking shitty white people, sexualizing.
53% of y'all suck. I'm just saying. Like, every election, you show up and you vote the wrong fucking way. Talk to your aunties and your omas wherever the fuck you were from. Yeah. Please, ladies.
Yeah.
Have them tough conversations you're supposed to be having.
Talking. Oh, God.
I know.
Sorry, what was your...
Having holiday
I figured it was probably...
No, this is good.
I thought her, like, inappropriately touching Stewart was probably a comment on, like, the over-sexualization of Black men in culture, society.
Life, right. Media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that conversation, I mean, and then doesn't that, the other, I think that this is, like, the longest we see them on screen together. There's that conversation between Kate Walsh and Regina Hall that comes right afterwards, mm-hmm. where Kate Walsh is, like, not picking up on, like, she,
bye girl,
yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah,
gonna get turned,
yeah, yeah, turned,
turned.
Yeah, yeah, she's Jesus using Christ. A lot of, like, she's turned. For sure, like, A-A-B-A. Culturally appropriating, yeah. A lot of language, and Regina, Jamie, you mentioned this, like, handles this very well, and that she's like,
it's crazy how well she, like, it's like, it, I watched that scene two or three times because it's like, I don't, I mean, I'm interested in what we all think about, but it's like, it's, I was like, whoa, you know, so perfectly stated and also is so not on her to have to say at the same time. It was just,
yeah. I appreciate too that, like, at the end of Regina's speech there, even Kate Walsh, I'm not going to try to learn her character's name, she says, I'm not even offended. Thank you. That was really touching and I get it. And then yeah. turns around and, you know, obviously doesn't get it. But like, I think that it was so, it's what, you know, a lot of us think and feel, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, I feel like Kate Walsh's character was, like, the queen of, like, microaggressions almost in this movie because mm-hmm. she's, like, just borrowing a lot of language. And Regina's response is, you can't keep saying these things. Like, you can't keep talking like this. You're going to Essence Fest. There's going to be 500,000 people celebrating Black womanhood. You are a guest. Act appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then Kate Walsh, her character, she ignores her and basically just keeps doing it. And then every time after that, they're just kind of like, well, shrug, like, we tried. And I guess she's just going to keep being an awful white woman. But yeah, I thought that was, like, a really awesome scene to see play out in the movie where she's actually confronting Kate Walsh's character about it.
Mm-hmm. Although I will say it does come up later and it actually kind of works, I guess, to a benefit during the cooking demonstration when she's like, you know, it's a colloquialism. Like, you know, put your foot in it, slap your mama. So, like, that, I think it comes back a little bit. But, yeah, it was a really impactful scene, I thought.
Yeah, that was an...
I just wish that Black men were treated better sometimes by white women. Mm.
Yeah.
There and the fact that, like, Regina's character leads with, she's like, and I'm saying this out of love and, like, has to do all these, like, qualifying her own accurate statement before she says it. That was a really, 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 really good scene.
Yeah. Well, can we talk about Kate Walsh drinking a candle?
Yes.
I was talking to Danielle Perez, who you've had on the podcast.
Certainly.
The pod.
Hocus Pocus up.
Yeah. She's one of my dearest, oldest friends. Emphasis on the oldest.
oh, okay.
She's like two decades older than me. No.
You're 12 years old.
I'm not even supposed to be here. How did I drive here? No, but like, that is one of the, like, most memorable images for me from that movie is, like, Kate Walsh drinking that fucking candle.
I
My God.
I had to go back and check. I'm like, wait, that did happen. That did happen.
Yeah. Because she's got, like, the wax then, like, melted on her lips for a while.
She tries to pay for their drinks with her fucking shoe. I think she could do that.
And then the button on that scene is Queen Latifah's like, here, my date will settle this bill. And she's talking about the lamp because she was tripping and making out with the lamp.
Yeah.
And then Kate Walsh, who's also tripping, stands up and she's like, welcome.
Oh, yeah, nice to meet you.
To the lamp. It's great comedy.
Kate Walsh, her character is, like, too much in every conceivable, like,
yeah,
the queen of microaggressions. And I think just, like, oh, yeah, this is something I've seen and possibly even been guilty of myself in the past because, you know, white ladies have to be fucking accountable is, like, of overcompensating. Mm-hmm. Like, her character is constantly overcompensating. She genuinely doesn't get it, but also seems to want to be accepted, but she doesn't. She's not putting in the work and she's not actually listening. And so she just ends up, like, in every scene, she's overcompensating. And in some ways it's like, uncomfortable, and then in other ways she's drinking a candle.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, like, the whole time making money off of black people,
right,
black
right.
culture, which is also, I think, a comment on the entertainment industry in general. Like, you like to make money off of us, but yet you don't know us.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think she's doing it as maybe a way to say, like, yeah, I can relate to you, or, like, see, I'm relatable, but, like, not putting in any effort to listen and have a discussion and things like that.
Yeah. Which is timely as fuck. Because we all have to have these conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Simone? You haven't talked about Simone?
Yes.
Simone.
So Simone is the Instagram model who Stuart is having an affair with that Ryan sort of knows about, but she doesn't necessarily know all the details. Then in the movie later on, Simone reveals that she is pregnant with Stuart's baby.
Wow. That scene to me when Simone, because she's around and it's like, you know, there's like the cooking demonstration where it turns into this big physical comedy scene, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that scene with Queen Latifah, that was so bizarro to me the way it played out, because the first half of that scene, I was like, oh, we're getting to know this character a little bit. And it was before she was kind of this like two-dimensional, like she's just the person that Regina's husband is cheating with. But then she comes in and she like she has a few good lines in there of like, I didn't make this baby by myself, you know, like basically asking that Stuart be accountable to her and not just totally fucking blow her off because he, you know, was an active part of that relationship. And for that part, I was like, oh, this is cool. I feel like we don't usually get to see the other woman character treated like this. But then she's like, by the way, I'm blackmailing you. Goodbye. And then I was like, oh, man, it kind of, for me, it like sold out the little bit of characterization she was given, because then she just became the villain again. Like, she was a person for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then she was the villain again. And then they said she looked like a dog.
Oh, right.
Although that was a really funny bit. The whole Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, like making
dog
a baby.
Baby
yes.
Oh, that was great.
That was a great bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That did. I feel like she was kind of cheated out of more of an opportunity to be more like well-rounded character, because then she I mean, sure, you like movies have to have villains, like not everyone's gonna be nice, but well,
this kind of movie doesn't really have to have, I don't know, I felt like, I'm talking through this in real time, but I feel like, how different would the movie be if that scene doesn't end with her saying, by the way, I'm blackmailing you, goodbye? Because I feel like the conversation between Regina Hall and Stuart would still have happened anyway. It's like, I don't know why she had to be a villain.
She's putting Queen Latifah's character, I think, giving her some skin in the game.
Oh,
giving
okay.
her stakes in it. That's why she did it.
That makes sense.
Right, because then whenever that photo is leaked, Regina thinks Queen Latifah's character,
which is a weird jump also. I'm like, I never for 1 minute believed that Queen Latifah like was doing that.
Because even if it's set up that she's like losing her house and like her car's getting repossessed and all this stuff, and she's like in a financial crisis, but her character is established and developed in such a way that she would never sell out her friend, basically. So,
Well,
that brings me to the point of a lot of the conflict in this movie derives from relationships between these women. So it's either like within the group there's tension, or outside of the group there's tension, usually with Simone. And some of the conflict does derive from Stuart and him being a piece of shit and cheating on Ryan and stuff like that. But
in glorious high definition every single time. Still not over those fucking pictures. They're beautiful.
But the fact remains that a lot of the conflict in the movie derives from complications between female characters, which, I mean, I don't know what, if any, statement is being made there, but society perpetuates this idea that women are catty and there's all this drama between women and women can't get along and stuff like that. And movies that promote this, I'm always like, well, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about
but
it.
Then, I don't know. I mean, is there a version of, because there are so many versions of this setup, is there a version of this setup where there are main cast members so that we've got to put them in conflict with each other or nothing happens? I don't know. I don't know. But maybe that's not true. I'm trying to think of like a counterpoint to that. But there is a lot of the conflict in this movie comes from
Regina Hall's marriage and how her friends perceive it.
Right, mm-hmm. That's true.
So that's where a lot of it comes from.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, if you see a male counterpart version of this movie where you see some like Old School or The Hangover kind of thing, mm-hmm. where there's also conflict among the male characters. So it's not necessarily a gender specific thing. It's right. just sort of like how these movies are structured and where conflict is derived, because it often is just like interpersonal relationships between the characters.
Yeah, the gang has to break up so they can get back together right. at the end yeah. and ride
Cheetah
victoriously.
Girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's do Cheetah Girls.
Oh, I've seen Cheetah Girls in a long time.
I don't think I ever have.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways.
Does anyone have any other thoughts about the movie?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the Bechdel test is, it's really good. And I'm glad we have it because it helps frame a lot of stuff. I think that this movie, it technically passes it, but I was mentioning this earlier. It's so about the men. Like, there's this other, like, weird subplot about, like, yeah, let's talk yeah, about yeah. the end of the movie. Like, the last scene where, like, Ryan's had her speech and they know mm-hmm. that she's going to get this deal and they have a night out. They go see a concert. There's this monologue that Ryan has where she's talking about, at the end of the day, all you have is your friends. And then the image on the screen is her hugged up with this dude who the whole yeah. time is like basically like her knight in shining armor, like shows up. Like nobody has Uber in this world, apparently. Right. They can't just like call a ride.
Oh, this was the Julian guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, is yeah. that what it is? I kept calling him like the guy.
He puts them in a better hotel. He comes yeah. and picks them up after their thing with the cops. Yeah. Just all of this kind of crazy stuff. And it's just like, I don't know if I needed any of that.
I don't think he needed to be there.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me.
It mm-hmm. also sort of actively goes against what it seemed like our takeaway was supposed to be, was like, and if we're talking about like the dynamic between, because we haven't really talked about the dynamic between Regina Hall and Stuart, because it's, I mean, I think that there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of it was, there was a lot of energy being put to make fun of the other woman. Although there's also a lot of energy put to calling Stuart a milk dud and a lot of really, really creative insults.
Yeah.
Like every scene we see Regina and Stuart in, I mean, he's gaslighting her to some degree and basically mm-hmm. saying like, well, if I'm not in your life, your career is going to fall apart. And we know the whole movie that, you know, she's going to figure out this isn't true. But mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. It's like there's energy put into like why there didn't need to be another male character.
Yeah.
That was a romantic interest. And none of the other three characters really got a romantic interest, really.
We didn't even talk about Jada's little chocolate piece.
Oh, yes.
That's where it technically ends, is them looking at the thing.
When this guy first comes on screen, I was in Glendale when I saw the movie. I want you to know that, like, every single woman and gay dude in that audience was like, yeah. Just, like, there was such a, like, a loud physical, like, vibration that went through the room when he was, like, smizing up at her. And it's like, gorgeous face.
He's unreal. Yeah.
And then you see him pretty much naked except for, like, grapefruits on his dick later on.
Right. Which was amazing. But, yeah, I mean, that was a kind of a cool one, I guess. I liked that just because we got to see him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great.
Yeah.
So with that kind of subplot with Jada Pinkett Smith's character and this guy who's like 21, she's like like twice his age or something like that, which good on her. So with Jada's character, her whole thing is that she's painted as this like uptight mom who's just like focused on her kids and she hasn't had sex in a couple of years. And everyone's like, you gotta, even her mom like is like, you need to go like dust
get
out
laid.
The cobwebs and like, yeah.
I don't love that.
Right. Because it's basically saying, especially when it's like a hetero thing, it's like only a man can cure you of this.
Right. Well, they said like at one point, like, you know, penetration is medicinal. I was like,
yeah. Ooh, that's a little heteronormative.
And she also is saying like in the drunk plane scene, she's kind of saying like, I masturbate all the time.
Yeah. She's like, I've got a shower head and it's been very good to me.
She reads
like,
a lot of erotica.
Right. Oh, yeah. Very like intense erotica or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I mean, she might be fine. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I did that whole like uptight lady character that we see all the time, and then the message is like she just needs a good dicking and she'll be cured.
Yeah.
Also, like I don't think there was such a big difference for me in terms of her portrayal of the character's change. I thought that her performance was a little bit flat when it came to this, because I think that you can take that character and be so uptight and then really go loosey goosey with it. And I don't know if she did that. I don't know if she fully completed the arc for me as an actor. But yeah.
It's weird. I mean, yeah. And I think that that's what's that fucking, there's a movie with Sandra Bullock where she has just terrible bangs, and that is a lot of them. But
there's everything she's ever done. There's
2 weeks notice. That's the bad one. Where basically it's like Sandra Bullock is mean but good at her job, and then Hugh Grant fucks her and her life is changed.
That's every movie in the 90s. Just so we're clear. I mean, Hugh Grant must have just the magicalist dick. I mean,
him and Colin Firth just must be ejaculating straight up miracles.
May I just say that Hugh Grant in Paddington 2 deserves an Oscar.
Really?
He did such a good job. And the movie is. I love Paddington. I love Paddington 2. They are terrific movies that treat its female characters pretty well, I would say. I think they would make for interesting episodes. Just putting it out there.
Mm-hmm. I got your texts. And
A message received.
But verbal confirmation also important.
Hugh Grant does a really bang-up job in Paddington 2.
There is Hugh Grant. Is he like a guy or is he Paddington?
No, he's a guy. He's in the movie as himself.
He's like, yeah. Well, yeah, he's always playing himself.
Yeah, he's never playing somebody.
But he's also playing like a washed-up actor who hasn't worked in a while.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Really? Yeah, and that's his character in the movie.
Yeah, he's playing himself.
Yeah.
he's all good.
Can I just really quick, I just want to bring up one. Can I just say shout out to Mace? He made a cameo during the movie, as did P. Diddy.
Oh, my gosh.
And can we talk about like how proud I am that he got his SAG healthcare this year? You know what I mean? I was like, good for you, Mace.
There were good. And there wasn't one cameo in this movie that bugged me. And also, it was the perfect set. Like, my thing with cameos is if it's not, like, set up just so, it bugs me. Like, we did the Ghostbusters, the new one, and there's an Ozzy Osbourne cameo in that movie that makes no fucking sense.
I don't even remember it.
But we're at Essence Festival in this, and so every cameo is, like, well contextualized and really welcome and excited.
How do you say Albania Lanzan? I'm fucking up her name. But she was great confronts Queen Latifah. I do think she was going to hurt her.
I think they cut right in time.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, let's talk about whether or not the movie passes the Bechdel test.
Sorry, I've been talking about it since I got on the podcast. I just came out swinging with it. What a bitch. The whole point of the podcast is to talk to you about it.
We're trying to take it a little bit. Like, we use the Bechdel test as, like, literally step one. We don't, So we can talk about everything all the time. For our version of the Bechdel test, the bar is very low.
Extremely.
Two women talking about not a man for literally two lines of dialogue. This movie passes pretty handily.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we were doing it like the entire scene between two women has to pass, this movie might not do it as well. But with our version, it's just a two-line exchange. Mm-hmm. So
in talks for taking another look at the way we look at the test, too, because it's... There are some movies that pass the Bechdel test that are so horrible to women. Mm-hmm. And there just happens to be a scene with a waitress with a name at one point.
Right, yeah. But yes, the female characters who outnumber the male characters,
I say. Yeah.
There's scenes where Ryan is talking to her agent Liz about deals or the Flossy Posse or about Regina Hall's titties at one point. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, passes the test. Lisa talks to her mom about taking care of the kids. They all talk to each other about their friendship and all kinds of stuff. Dina and Lisa talk about how Dina has hid pot in her booty hole.
Best line of the movie. I'm surprised that made it to the previews and all that, like all the commercials.
That was one of the big... Yeah.
Yeah, so there's tons of scenes.
They talk about everything.
Yeah, they're talking
about... And they do talk about men a lot.
But they do.
Yeah. But they talk about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say these scenes, like, at some point they pivot and become exclusively... The objective becomes, like, getting a man.
For a lot of them,
Once they get to New Orleans, it's, like, almost 50% of them, like, they just go straight there.
Yeah, right. That's true. But still passes. And so, yay for that. Now let's rate the movie on our nipple scale. 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. I'm going to give it like a 4.5. Like we've already discussed, it's just so awesome to see representation of 4 women of color on screen as the main characters. They're driving the story. We know about them. We know about their backstory. We see strong female friendships. yeah, it's just really fun to watch. And especially I love women in comedy, seeing women be funny on screen. Mm-hmm. A lot of times if there is a comedy movie and there is a female character in it, she doesn't really get any of the jokes. Or it's funny when she gets hit in the face with a ball. Mm-hmm. And that's like the only comedy that she gets to do on screen.
Right. One of my favorite, she's stupid or she's mean.
Yeah. There's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, yeah, can I just say that the reason mine doesn't get a perfect score is I feel like a lot of too much emphasis was placed on men and the conflict around men and, oh, we have mm-hmm. to get a dick and, oh, you need to get laid by a man and stuff like that. So that's why it doesn't get like a perfect five.
I'm just
for
giving
me.
It a pass because I'm black and it's a black movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And please, God, in 10 years, please let me be in a movie like this. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
Please.
10
oh
years.
Yes.
Maybe next year.
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah, I need new teeth. So, yeah, please.
So, yeah.
Who are you giving your nipples to?
Yeah, I'm going to 4.5, and I'm going to each of the four gals gets one. And then my half nipple, I'm going to give it to Julian because he was a nice boy and he's cute.
Over Julian.
I know, honestly, I could have done without him. But yeah. Why did he have a mohawk?
Why did he have a mohawk?
And fake spacers? Come on. Fucking 2017, dude. Get your look together. Shout out to Neo, who also made
yes.
a cameo.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He's in anything where there's like an artist playing live, Neo is that artist. In whatever.
That is true.
He's always cast as that.
Someone make an IMDb for Neo's cameo record specifically. There's got to be 50.
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, this movie for me would get 5 large chocolate areolas, the size of your face. And shout out to it for featuring black women, diversity in size, diversity in shape, and hair textures, lots of lovely wigs. I want to give them to Regina Hall's lace front. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just want to, like, shout out that her pretending to wrap it up at night. I was like, bitch, just take it off and put it on the stand. Why are you? Who are you kidding? But no. Actually, I take it back. 4 go to her lace front.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 goes to Neo. Just because, you know, he was there.
He deserves it.
We can't forget that he was in this movie,
I
too,
I feel like
y'all.
Neo is super punctual for some reason. Like, he does so much. I'm like, he's got to be, like, so great to work with he's in everything.
When I see him, if I saw him without his hat on, I would have no idea what he looked like. You know what I mean? He always has that hat.
Oh, yeah,
that's
he does.
The only reason I know it's Neo.
It's his signature look. I'm going to give it 4.5 as well for all the reasons that we stated. It's like just such a wonderful thing that this movie is in the world and that we see women of color and also mostly over 40, which it's like amazing, and the fact that it did so well and so many people got mm-hmm. to see it.
Also, a lot of the background is all people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A ton of movies will have maybe a few people of color main characters, but then everyone else in crowd scenes or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the crazy version of New York City that's all white that
right.
we see in movies all the time.
And everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Awful. Yes, so this movie is wonderful. My only gripe with it would be that there was good opportunities to put in queer characters that I felt like was kind of a missed opportunity, especially mm-hmm. because, hello, Queen Latifah is literally right here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the one thing that bugged me a little bit, and I could do without Julian. But other than that, it's genuinely a really fun movie to watch, which movies with this setup are not always fun to watch.
True.
And it's like unlike any movie I've ever seen before. It was great.
Yeah.
I'm giving each lady one nip, and then I'm going to give my other half nip to Simone because she deserved more.
Yeah.
And now she has to go and have Stewart's kid.
Oh, right.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Do you think they'll end up together? I kind of get the feeling that they might. Anyways, that could just be me projecting.
Maybe we'll find out in Girls Trip 2.
I know.
Is
probably starring Dulce Sloan. Please.
Oh,
I'm calling that into the universe for you, sis.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
I love that. I love Dulce.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Madison, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
This has been so much fun.
This has been a blast.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find and follow you online?
Y'all. Okay, so first of all, I sometimes update my website, and I pay $20 a month for it, so visit it. Squarespace. Promo code my pussy here. You can find dates and info about me at themadisonshepherd.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Madison Shepherd, and on Instagram I'm very good at Instagram stories.
I love
shouting them out for myself. If I don't mind to toot my own horn.
Please.
At @Madison_Shepherd, because I was too old and got into Instagram. Anyways, it's a whole thing. But yeah, find me there, y'all.
Yes, do that. Find us, the Bechdelcast, on Twitter, Instagram, our website, Bechdelcast.com. You can
Facebook.com.
Facebook.com.
Facebook.com. You never hear that. It is a .com, though.
It is.
It's a .com. Sometimes I say Instagram.com, and I'm like, I'm a fuck up.
I'm actually a lizard. You can also go to Patreon.com/Bechdelcast.
Oh, yes.
And subscribe to our Patreon.
Oh, please, for the love of God.
$5 a month. That's hardly anything. Just don't drink those two coffees from Starbucks, and instead, give us your $5.
Give
and
then these hoes their money. Please, they need it.
Check us out there. And that's it. Bye.
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 This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3XS to 6XL. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.